This is the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May this timeless message bless you today. And remember, a life on fire is a life well spent.
I want to talk to you about the end of life and how to get to heaven the moment you die. Is that okay by you? Yes, let's talk about it. Now, you know, many people have funny ideas about heaven. Here's Marsha, 9 years old. She says, listen to this. When you die, you don't have to do homework in heaven unless your teacher is there also. Yeah, smart little girl. And then there's another one, 8 years old. Everybody cries when somebody dies because they don't want to be left behind. That's good. But here's my favorite. This boy, Kevin, 10 years old. He said, I'm not afraid to die because I am a Boy Scout. Yeah, that's a real man for you, huh? A real, real man. But you know, the whole idea of what happens when you die, young people all over the world are interested about it. And I'm sure all of you thousands of kids and dads and moms and even grandpas and grandmas, you're interested. What happens when you die? Does the Bible say anything about it? You know, one day I was in Scotland and I was having dinner with a Scottish family. And I said to the wife, the mother, how many children you got? And she said, 4. 3 live in Scotland, 1 lives in heaven. And I thought, wow, I like that. And then I heard the story of a little boy whose dad was an atheist. And one neighbor came to him one day, he was a widower, and said, sir, can I take your little boy to Sunday school, to church? And the guy didn't like it, but he said, okay, take him. And he was a little boy. And when he came back from Sunday school, he said to him, dad, today I was invited to go to heaven, and I accepted. And you know, all of you way down the mall over there, all of you on the left, on the right, all of you here, I am here to invite you to go to heaven. God wants you all to go to heaven when you die. Every single one of you. He does. And he wants you to make the decision right here, right now. Don't wait till the day before you die. You may never get a chance. You know, we were in Santa Cruz, California, having a festival on the beach. And that night, a family by the name of Wagner was cleaning all the beach so that there'd be no garbage left. They were the last ones to leave. They had 2 teenage girls, Mandy, 16, and Carrie, 14. Those girls, super little teenage girls. The dad and mom got into the car, left the beach to go home, only about 3 miles away. And as they were going home at 11 at night, a drunken woman driving an SUV ran a stop sign, slammed into the car where the Wagners were with Mandy and Carrie. The 2 sweet girls were killed on the spot. The dad got banged up in a terrible way. The mom was a little less hurt. One of my buddies said in the morning, Luis, bad news, this happened last night. So I went to the hospital. The wife was half asleep, though a little drugged by painkillers. And when she saw me and I grabbed her hand, she said, Luis, you've come. She said, you know what happened to Carrie and to Mandy? They died last night. And then she said these beautiful words, the mom. She said, they were my only kids. But she said, Luis, think of it. Last night, Mandy and Carrie saw the face of Jesus. Man, what an exciting promise to know that that can happen. And you know, Billy Graham, who had his offices here for many years, one day told the story about his grandma. He said they were in North Carolina, and his grandma was sick, and they knew she was dying, and she was a believer. She was a follower of Jesus. She had eternal life. She knew she was dying. I think she was like 92 or something. And Billy said his grandma sat up. The family was around the bed. And suddenly she stretched out her arms. And she said, there's Jesus. And she was gone. Man, that's the way to die, huh? It's an amazing thing, guys, that God, through Jesus Christ, came into the world to give us eternal life. Now, let me read to you what it says about heaven. Just a few verses and then I'll explain you how to get to heaven. Listen to the last book of the Bible talking about how we're going to get there if we have Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride beautiful dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. God will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. What about that? That's pretty good about heaven, huh? Yes, that's what God has prepared. And then just a few more words, because I want you to know that you're going to heaven, not because what Luis Palau says, who gives a rip what I say. You got to believe what God says. Amen? You better believe it. Look at 22. It says, then an angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, which is heaven, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops, yielding its fruit in its season. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And here it comes. Listen, there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp of day or the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Yes. And look how he seals it. Look at what it says. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirit of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Now, I want you to help me. The last verse is an invitation from God. It goes like this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Him who hears, let him come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. Let him come if he wishes, and take for free of the water of life. Now, you know, you guys, people laugh when you talk about heaven. Some people say, ha, 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 you Christians, you talk about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know what I say? You better believe we got a pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I'm nibbling on it, man, and it tastes real good. I want to tell you that. Yes. And you know, God wants you to think of heaven all over the Bible. Heaven, we have to think of it as up there, way up there. Hey, look at the sky, you guys. Look at what the Lord has done. He brought a little shade for you so you don't oversweat. But you know, above all that sky is God Almighty. And the Bible wants us to think very clearly about heaven as up there. My grandpa was an unbeliever. And he used to say, ha, 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 it's up there. If you're in Australia, up there is down there. Ha, 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 grandpa. You know, he was just smart aleck. And he died without believing. I'm afraid my granddad died and he went down there because he bought Jesus Christ. But you know, the Bible tells us this. First, heaven is the Father's house. It's the Father's house. And therefore, the Bible says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And then Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, sir. Give him a cheer. He's preparing a house. And you know something else? I love this. In 1 Corinthians, it says, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has come up in the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, what happens when a person dies? What does the Bible say? Let me tell you. Listen for a few seconds. You are created in the image of God. The Bible says over and over and over, you're not a cat, you're not a dog, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, you're not a monkey, you're not an elephant. You are a man or a woman created in the image of God. That means that just like God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you as a man, you as a woman, you also are three in one, body, soul, and spirit. Now, when you open your heart to Christ, this is what happens. Your spirit until that moment is dead. But the moment you open your heart to Christ, you come alive. And you come alive to God. CNN was interviewing me a few minutes ago, and they were asking me again and again, what is this born again stuff? What does it mean that you're born again? It means that you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Spirit of God, and suddenly you say, I know God. I didn't know Him 10 minutes ago, but now I know Him. That's what it means to open your heart to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But what happens when you die? Okay, so God has a mansion in heaven. Okay, when my father died, I was 10 years old. I was in boarding school. And my grandma called me up and said, Luis, get home fast. Your daddy is very sick. I had to take a train, a subway, and another train. When I got home, my dad had just died a few minutes before. And I said to my mom, why didn't you call me earlier? And then she told me what happened. He got sick, and in 9 days, he was dying in Argentina, in South America. No penicillin in those days, so he was dying. They brought him home. He went to bed, yellow from the galloping fever. His lips were broken. He had blood coming out the side of his mouth. But he sat up in bed. He was only 34 years old. He was a young dad. And I was the oldest child. He sat up in bed and he began to sing a song about heaven. And he sang three times, clapping his hands. And then, exhausted from the fever, his head fell on the pillow. And my dad pointed up to heaven and he said, I'm going to be with Jesus, which is better by far. And a few moments later, my dad went to be with the Lord. What an experience. The Bible says this, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Say it with me. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know what that means? When a believer dies, his body stays on earth. But the real you, the spirit, the soul, the real you instantly goes into the presence of the Lord. And you go to be with the Lord forever. The body waits on earth until the resurrection. And when Jesus comes back in the clouds of the air, the Bible says, those who died in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive. Supposing Jesus came down in one of those clouds. In this moment like this. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, all of us who believe in Jesus will be transformed. We will go up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We shall always be with the Lord. But you know something? You have to open your heart to Christ for yourself. Your mama can't give you the blessing. Your priest can sprinkle holy water. Your clergyman can say a prayer, but only you can open your heart to Jesus Christ. And that's why we're having this party here, to us to help you make your commitment and say, God, I want to know you. I want to have eternal life. Know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to be sure. And you say, how can I be sure? There's only one way. You must open your heart to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, listen to this. I give you eternal life. You will never perish, and no one can snatch you out of my hands. You're in the hands of God when you open your heart to Christ. I am here to invite you to go to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. But you have to make your decision. You must open your heart to Christ, and I want to help you in a few minutes. Secondly, heaven is the happy, eternal place for the children of God. It's a party that never quits up there. No more death, No more crying. Yes, applaud the Lord if you want. Go ahead. No more crying, no more death, no more curse, no more tears, nothing. It's going to be a beautiful party that will go on forever. That's why I like these festivals. They're sort of a mini picture of what heaven is going to be like. It won't be quite as hot, I think. But actually, it's going to be fun and joy and singing and so on. But you know, the Bible says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And heaven belongs to the children of God. Are you a child of God tonight? Yeah. Some of you are. Hallelujah. But some of you guys out there, you probably wonder, how do I become a child of God? You know how you become a child of God? Just like my dad did. And I did it when I was 12 years old. You must believe and receive Jesus Christ. It isn't enough to say, I believe. That's number one. And also, it isn't enough to say, I repent. That's number two. But you must receive Jesus Christ. It's as if I say to you today, here, as a memento of the party here, the festival, have my Bible. Do you want it? You say, yes, I do. I'll give it to you. If you want it, all you have to do is say yes and stretch out your hand and I give it to you. And Jesus Christ says, God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have life. So if you want heaven to be your home and you want to be sure that you have eternal life, a simple question. Listen carefully. Do you have the Son of God living in your heart? That's the key. If you have the Son of God, it doesn't matter what church you go to or don't go to right now. You have eternal life. Because listen, eternal life is not something we get when we die. Eternal life is Jesus Christ living in our hearts now. And when you die, you know what happens when you die? When you die, you go and enjoy it in all its fullness, in all its dimension. The guys who are in the skateboard park, they heard Paul Anderson tell them how simple it is to receive Jesus Christ. Heaven is the Father's home for the children of God. But somebody says, Luis, what about when a little baby dies? Maybe you had a little brother who was 4 months old. And the Lord took him home. And you say, what happens to a baby? Or you are a dad or a mom. And you said, my little boy was 3. What about him? Let me tell you first. A brief life is not an incomplete life. God knows every one of us the day we're going to die. The Bible says, listen to this. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. So, God knows the day you're going to eternity. Please listen carefully. You cannot speed it up and you cannot slow it down. The day is set. I don't know when my day is coming because I don't know, but I'm ready. And the reason I'm ready is that when I was 12 years old, a little punk of a kid, I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. He came into my life, and I'm ready. I hope to live to be 92. I want to be an old man, not young like today. I want to be an old man. But if the Lord wants to take me tomorrow, I'm ready to go. But you know, a brief life is not an incomplete life. Secondly, you can be assured of this. All is well with the little child because the little child is in the presence of Jesus Christ, covered by the blood of Christ and saved by the mercy and grace of God. So your child is safe in the arms of Jesus in heaven forever. Now, thirdly, heaven should be more real to you. If you lost a little baby or a little brother or your own child, heaven should be real because your little brother or your little baby is in the presence of Jesus Christ. So, number four, the point is this. Are you going to heaven when you die? Your baby is there because of the mercy of God and the work of Jesus on the cross. But are you going to heaven? I remember once in England, a banker we were having a luncheon, and he was next to me, and he said, I hate God. I want nothing to do with him. I despise him. My little boy was 12 years old. He went to church with his mother, and God took him. I'm only here having lunch with you because my fellow banker brought me. You know, what do you say to a guy who says that? So I said, sir, your son believed in Jesus. He said, yes, he did. So why did God take him? I said, sir, your boy is in heaven. The big question now is, will you ever see him again? He said, how do I know? I said, if you receive Jesus Christ, sir, when you die, you'll go to heaven and you'll see your boy again. But if you continue to rebel, you're lost. I'm sorry to tell you. And the Englishman was astonished. I was a bit tough with him. That night we were going to have a meeting like this one, only smaller. And I give the invitation to receive Jesus. And there was an open space in front. So I said, if you receive Jesus Christ, the banker came running, man, running to receive Jesus Christ. That was so exciting to me. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. You will see your little one someday, only he won't be little anymore. He'll be complete and a whole person. So when a person dies and a baby dies, you don't despair because God is merciful and God is good. But the only question is, are you ready to go to heaven? Have you received Jesus Christ? Now, number three, heaven, listen to this one, it's important. Heaven is that place of true holiness and moral purity. Listen, guys, men in particular, but women also. The Bible says, I didn't say it, don't get mad at me. The Bible says, nothing unclean shall enter heaven. And the Bible says that anybody who consults psychics or astrologers or palm readers or horoscopes, the Bible says anyone who is morally impure, sexually immoral, the Bible says all liars, all the unrepentant will not enter heaven. And you say, Luis, if the liars don't get in and the immoral don't get in and the drunks don't get in, who in the world gets in? Because all of us have broken the law, haven't we? The answer is in the next verse. It says, they have washed their robes, listen to this, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now some people say, now that is weird. How can you wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb? You don't have to be too bright to understand it. It means that through the crucifixion of Jesus, listen to this. Through the crucifixion of Jesus, God the Father took all the impurity, immorality, occultism, idolatry, sexual impurity, lying, cheating. And the Bible says God laid on Jesus the sins of us all. When Christ died on the cross, he didn't die as a martyr. They didn't kill him and the poor man couldn't get away. Jesus says, I lay down my life of my own free will. Nobody took it from me, he says. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So guys and girls, when on the cross our Savior died, listen carefully, you got to understand it. God took all your sins and mine, the sins of the whole world, from the beginning of history, from Adam and Eve till the last sinner on earth. And he laid it on Jesus Christ. You got to understand this because it's important. It'll help you clear your conscience and be ready for heaven. And then when Jesus hung on the cross, some of you remember, Catholics have heard it, Protestants have heard it, even atheists know it. It became dark at noon in Jerusalem. Jesus had a thief on the right and a thief on the left, and his nails in his hands and his feet, and a crown of thorns on his head. And they'd beaten him 39 times. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then when it got dark, the Bible says that the blessed Savior, this is for you as well as for me, cried out my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a rhetorical question. He knew why. He was dying for us. And then at 3 p.m, listen to this. After 3 hours of agony, in which he purged all our sins and purified us, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Yes, yeah, give him a hand. It is finished. And then he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. They put him in a tomb. On the third day, Sunday morning, some women came to the tomb to bring some spices and stuff. And when they go looking, the rock has been rolled over. Two angels are sitting there. Jesus was nowhere to be found. Because on the third day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead and he's alive tonight. He's alive. He's alive. Some people say, why does God forgive people only through Jesus Christ? Why not some other prophet or some other philosopher or some other religious leader? It's very simple. Because he's the only one who paid for the sins of the world. And therefore, only he can forgive the sins of the world. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Listen, if you should die tonight and you went and faced God Almighty and he were to ask you, what right do you have to enter my heaven? What would you say? The only key, the only password, the only ticket to heaven is you better say, I have no right to enter, God. But because of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, I have a right to enter into heaven. That's the password. That's the ticket. That's the key. But you have to make the decision. And this is the last point that I give you the invitation. Heaven is an eternity of perfect service to God. And the most beautiful thing to me, the Bible says, your eyes, listen to this one, shall see the King in his beauty. I can't wait to get to heaven. I tell you, when you think of this, we've all seen pictures of Jesus in churches, in museums, in wherever. When we see him, he's going to be so beautiful. And we're going to fall at his feet and we'll say, Jesus, this is what you look like. You are wonderful, and I love you, and thank you for saving me by your death on the cross. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, wants to take you to heaven when you die. He wants everyone to go to heaven. But here comes the moment of decision, the moment when you must make a commitment. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to go to the Father, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be sure, you must come to Jesus Christ. It's great if your mama loves Jesus. It's fabulous if your daddy loves Jesus. Wonderful if the whole family is in the kingdom of God. But you must make a commitment for yourself. Even traditional churches, they christen you when you're a baby. But when you're 13, they want you to make your own commitment. And you know, you must confirm your commitment to Jesus Christ. And I am here tonight speaking to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says to you, not Luis, Jesus Christ. Not the church, Jesus Christ. My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And he says, I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice, says Jesus, and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. And even though there's 120,000 people here, he's speaking to you back there by those trucks. He's speaking to you over in that corner And he says, I see you, I know you, I love you, I made you, I died for you. Let me come into your heart right now, right now, right now. And you say, Luis, how shall I do it? Listen, all of you, way back there. It's as if I go to your house tonight after the party is over. And I knock on the door of your house. And you look out the window and you say, oh boy, it's Palau. He talks too much. Shall we let him in or not? You got to make a decision. If you want me to go away, you don't have to say, we don't want Argentinians, get lost. You just leave the door closed. I'll knock two or three times and then I'm gone. But if you want me to come in, all you have to do is open the door and say, Luis, come on in, sit down. What do you want to drink? Make yourself at home and I will move into your house. And Jesus says to you tonight, not just to those up front, but all of you here, he says, if you open the door, I will come into you. And he says, I'll eat with you and you will eat with me. In other words, he says, we'll have a party that will never quit. But yes, it is. And you know, the party begins right here, right now. Not when you die. That's the perfection of the party. But it begins now. And listen, this is what happens. Your sins are all forgiven. You are purified by the blood of Jesus. God looks at you just as if you'd never sinned. You are separated from God. And listen to this. I love this. You become the temple of God. God doesn't live in temples made by human hands, St. Peter said. God lives in your heart when you open your heart to Jesus Christ. And you know what happens, Grandpa? If you are 85 and you've been a stubborn old Protestant, but tonight God is speaking to you and your children are praying for you, Grandpa, and your grandchildren are praying for you. If you open your heart to Christ, Grandpa, he will come in tonight and he'll make you a new man, but you have to open your heart. You know, in Scotland one day they said to me, you know, Luis, in the old days, parents used to pray for their children. Nowadays, children are having to pray for their parents. And that's why I love kids and I love young people. Pray for your parents and pray for your grandparents. But you know, everybody must make their own decision. Every person must make their own commitment to Jesus Christ. And I want to give you that invitation right now by telling you what happened to one little girl in England. I was there some years ago. And it was a youth night, like tonight. And a buddy of mine called Graham had a girlfriend. And he was only 16, so it was, they call it puppy love in some countries. I don't know what you call it here. His girlfriend was Mandy. Mandy was 13, beautiful girl. Her dad is a famous jazz musician in England. The mama, a television personality, but they were divorced. And even though it was England, they never went to church, never read the Bible. It was a pagan, nice little British home. And Mandy came with her boyfriend. I knew his dad. And he introduced Mandy and she was charming. They sat in the front row. I gave the good news. I called them to Jesus. I led in a prayer, like I'm going to do in 2 minutes. And she prayed, 13, and gave her life to Christ. 3 years later, I'm in Oregon, and I get a call from England. And they said, Luis, do you remember Mandy? I said, yes, Graham's girlfriend. It was going to be her 16th birthday. They went driving in southern England with Graham's dad's convertible. It began to drizzle. The highway was slippery. Graham turned the curve a little too fast. The car rolled over. Graham was thrown over a fence onto some bushes. Mandy, the sweetheart, had the seatbelt on and the stick shift went right through her, and she died on the spot. And the dad and mom wanted me to go and do the burial, even though they weren't Christian people. I went, and the dad and mom said to me in a private room before we did the service, "You know, Mandy, from age 13 till she died last Tuesday, kept talking all the time about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody in the high school loved Mandy. She was a beautiful, charming girl." And they said, "Now God has taken her." Well, we had a church full of movie stars and singers and television personalities. And I said to all these people, the body of Mandy was in the casket in front of us. And I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mandy made a decision to receive Jesus 3 years ago. This isn't Mandy. This is just her body. Last Tuesday, Mandy went to be with Jesus Christ. And her body is here now." And I said, "We're going to bury the body of Mandy this afternoon. But she's not here. When Jesus comes back, her body will be raised from the dead and we'll see her again." And you know, my dear friends, that's reality. And that's revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. So I beg all of you tonight, right now, up front, beautiful young people, happy kids, those of you, dads and moms and grandparents, all the way back, even boys and girls. I gave my life when I was 12. Andrew, my son, was 27. My dad was 22. My wife was 8 years old when she gave her life to Jesus. Now is your night. It may never happen again. You may never get another chance. Look at those two little girls in Santa Cruz, 16 and 14, the two sisters. But they both had Jesus. So they went to be with the Lord. And you got to be ready. And Jesus says, "Let me come into your heart." That's all you have to do. If you're honest and you know you repent and you believe in the crucifixion of Jesus for you, all you have to do is invite him in. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul said, get right with God right now. And then you can live a life that's fantastic, walking with God forever. All of you tonight. Yes, go ahead and give a final hand now, huh? Now, I want all of us at this moment to get really serious. I'm speaking to you not anymore like a buddy from Oregon, but let God speak to your heart. Let's everybody bow our hearts, everybody. Let's have quiet, no walking around. It's a moment of decision for thousands of you, thousands. It's a critical moment between life and death, heaven and hell, God and Satan, truth and lies, heaven and hell. It's a critical moment. And I beg you, dear Minnesotans, Catholic, Protestant, atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, whatever, Jewish, if you've never opened your heart to Christ, he is knocking at the door of your heart. It's not Luis. It's Jesus Christ speaking to you. And I want to lead you in a prayer. If you feel it in your soul, you join me in this prayer. It's the last day of our festival. So let's all pray together. If you're going to receive Jesus Christ for the first time right now, guys, girls, dads and moms, grandpas and grandmas, everybody, join me in this prayer. If you've never opened your heart, this is the moment. He says, "If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Imagine what a change when you leave this place. Imagine going home jumping, skipping, singing, you have eternal life. If you drifted away from God and the church, you join us in this moment. Come back home. Come back to God. Come back to Jesus Christ. Come back to the Bible. Oh, young people, dads and moms, come back to Jesus Christ. Let him take over in your life before Satan smashes you and crunches you, before the world messes you up, before some smart aleck wrecks your life. Come to Jesus Christ. Open your heart. Oh, I'm sure thousands of you will do it. Let's all pray together. And those of us who know Jesus, it's a prayer of thanks. Let me guide you and let me hear you. If you feel it in your soul, pray this prayer. Oh God, my Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his death on the cross. Thank you that you can purify me from all sin. Thank you for the resurrection. Jesus, you're alive. You are the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. Tonight you are my Savior, Lord Jesus. I confess you with my lips. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I will serve you, Lord Jesus. I will follow you all the days of my life. Till one day in heaven, I'll see you face to face. What a day that's going to be. I love you, O God, my Father. I want to live a pure life, a holy life, a happy life, filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Now I know Christ lives in me. I'm your child forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this: the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.